Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Terry Smith on the Angels Radio Network with the call of another big Albert Pujols home run.
Next delivery, that ball's drilled into center field. The Shields is going back, and it is out of here. Albert Pujols connects. Albert's 19th home run of the season. A three-run shot. 10-1 Angels.
And this is a significant home run for Albert Pujols. He passes Sammy Sosa, number 610 in the career of Albert Pujols. That puts him in eighth place all time. And passing Sammy Sosa, now Albert Pujols, the most home runs of a foreign-born player. Congratulations, Albert Pujols.
Another special moment for a great player in Albert Pujols last night at Angels Stadium. All right, next half hour, Neil Kulong. We're going to talk about the Steelers in their second preseason game. Now let's go up to Buffalo. Gerald Hodges, the former Nittany Lion, now with the Buffalo Bills. Gerald, welcome back. It is always great to hear you on the other end.
Yes, sir, man. I'm great to be talking to you guys.
Yeah, great to be talking with you as well. All right, the preseason, what kind of grind is it for you, and what kind of grind are the preseason games since there are four of them?
When we're talking about football, whether it's high school football, college football, NFL football, it's always a grind. You know, it's always gruesome, especially around this time of the year, because you're preparing yourself for a season, you know what I'm saying, that lasts for weeks and months, you know. So, I mean, when you're talking about football around this time of month, it's definitely a grind. It's just all about, I guess, you know what I'm saying, your approach towards it and your attitude towards it on how successful you are throughout it.
You've found directly that this is a business. You get drafted, you play, you get a breakout season with Minnesota, you go to the 49ers in a trade, now you're with Buffalo. What's the business side been? What kind of adjustment has it been to the business side?
It's been a great adjustment. You know, just like you said, it's the business part, but just for the simple fact that it's just there's still an opportunity and a privilege to be considered an NFL football player, you know, not just playing football, but being a role model, being able to be a leader on and off the field, you know, not just in a football aspect, but just in a personal life aspect. And like you said, man, it's just enjoyable, you know, the ups and downs of it, you know, the character that it allows you to build within yourself, you know what I'm saying, the character allows you to build within the people around you, your family, and things like that, so...
And family means the world to you. The fact that you're going to be a little bit closer to Jersey, I'm sure, it doesn't hurt. But, I mean, your family has meant everything to you, haven't they?
Yes, sir, exactly. And it's been a blessing to be able to get back on this East Coast, you know, where they're only about a 40-minute flight away or even a four-and-a-half-hour drive away. That's the blessed part about it. You know, not necessarily needing them to be here every day or every weekend, but knowing that they're a trip away is makes everything that much easier on me.
What does it take when you go to a new organization to learn terminology, to, you know, communication, how they do things? What kind of adjustment is that, and how quick can you do that?
It just takes commitment. You know, you got to be willing to commit to your profession. You know, and sometimes we get caught up in football's fun, so we play football, and then once we leave the field, football's over for the day. Now, when in the NFL, it's a commitment, and, you know, it's a profession, and when you approach it day in and day out as far as the playbooks and as far as practice and things like that, you just have to be totally committed, you know, so that you're on top of everything and things like that.
Gerald, what did Penn State teach you that helped set you up for a pro career, and what did Ron Vanderlinden mean to you?
Coach Ron meant the world to me. A lot of success that has come to me in the NFL, I mean, I give a lot of that to him, you know, just how he was just very detailed and how he coached and how very detailed he wanted us to be. as linebackers at Penn State. And we know the guys that came through there. You know, it was wonderful to have him because he was not just a great football coach, but he was a great person as well. You know, and he took us in as his own, and it was very enjoyable.
Gerald, once you got to the league, was there anybody that took you, that took you under their wing? And if so, who was that, and what were a couple little tricks of the trade they taught you?
I wouldn't say took me under the wing, but as far as a lot of the older guys in NFL, you know, I played in teams with guys like guys like Jared Allen and Kevin Williams, Adrian Peterson. I got to Sam Fran, you got Joe Staley, Navarro Bowman, and just seeing those guys and just seeing how they do things and just brain picking them and things like that made everything that much easier. You know, you'd be able to take, you know, certain little things from each every person, you know, and put it to your game and put it to your put it into your life aspect.
I know you weren't a Viking last year, but how much did your heart sink when you heard about Teddy Bridgewater a year ago?
Oh yeah, he's a good friend, and I mean, you hate for anything to happen like that for a football player, at any level of football, because if you're playing football, I mean, obviously you love the game, and you know, no one at his talent, especially his talent, wants to be away from the game as long as he has been, you know. So I definitely had a heartfelt moment for him, but he's a hard worker, and I know he'll be back on the field in no time.
All right, give me your thoughts on the Bills' defense. What do you like about the system that you're playing right now with Buffalo?
Most important, I love that we're just hard-nosed. You know, we go out there, and the main purpose on defense is just attack, you know, and make sure we go out there and we're physical, you know, and make sure we're the tone setters for the team. And that's what's most important to me, is just that, you know, that we're physical, because when you think of defense, you want to think of a physical, nasty defense that nobody wants to go against, you know, run, stop, and defense. And that's what we're going to pride ourselves on.
All right, now you've gone through this process now for a period of time. Where do you know that you're a better football player now than the day you entered the league?
You said, say that again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, where do you feel that you are better now, just through pure experience, than the first day you entered the league?
I don't know. I would just say better as a professional.
Okay.
You know, being able to just be able to work outside of the building, you know, be able to take care of my body, being able to stay mentally focused when the football season around, and being able to give my mind a break when football season is over. And it's just exciting to see the progress, and I can see the progress from my rookie year till now, and it's just it's exciting, and it's definitely heartfelt knowing that the steps that I was able to take going into my fifth year in the NFL.
Okay, where's the game still fun for you?
Game is definitely still fun, you know, being able to line up, go to practice, go to training camp with guys, and just go out there and just work with them, and all have the same goal. That's most important. We all have the same goal, and that's to go out there and win and be the best players we can be, you know, and that's what makes everything that much funner when it comes to football.
It's been 5 years now. What did that 2012 season mean to you?
It means the world. I think about it all the time. Just back at Penn State and all the guys and all the just the fun times and things like that. And all the, I mean, people say you think of the memories and the sounds are cheesy, but when you think of it, 2012 was nothing but memories, you know. The camaraderie that we built and things like that, and just, you know what I'm saying, being around one another, the class of 2012, the younger guys that is still carrying on the legacy and stuff at Penn State, it was just a blast. And it's just, I'm excited I was able to be a part of it.
In the senior day game in 12 against Wisconsin, Michael Motti couldn't play. You wore number 42. Take us through that particular week, what brought you to that decision, and what it meant to you that Mike said, go ahead.
Just what he brought to the game, the passion that he brought to the game, the leadership that he brought to the team, and things like that. I just felt as though it was in my place. You know, I was with him for 4 years. And just to see how he worked and things like that, and I admired that about him and things like that. And it was just, I felt like I needed to do it, you know, just so I can feel like he's out there with us for that last game. And I truly meant that, because we went through a lot over up there at Penn State, good times and bad times. And I feel as though his number needed to be carried on through that last game.
Last year, Penn State won the Big Ten Championship, went to the Rose Bowl, and one of the truly entertaining games of the season. What were your thoughts on watching Penn State get back on the big stage?
Oh, it was amazing. It was definitely amazing to be able to go actually see that game as well. We had played Seattle at home, and then me and Navarro Bowman got a chance to fly over to Pasadena to watch the game. And it was just awesome. You know, it was like a Penn State home field advantage when we got up there. All the alumni, all the former players and everyone like that. I mean, it was just a blast, and it was just the excitement rushing through the players and the coaches' expressions and things like that. I mean, it just made everything just really, really, really exciting about what's the near future for Penn State.
Back to the Bills for a moment now. The Bills have made some moves during the course of this training camp, as a matter of fact. What's the optimism level like for the Bills right now?
I'm not sure. I don't really want to speak on that because I don't know the ins and outs. I just know that when I get to my locker room, I'm locked in. I'm ready to get to work. You know, whether it's meetings or whether it's on the field, focusing on football or not. You know, I try to attack the day, and you know, the team's on my mind, but I kind of just like to worry and take care of what I can take care of and control what I can control.
Absolutely. Gerald, an absolute pleasure. It's always great to hear you on the other end. You'll always be number six here. So we appreciate the time very, very much, Gerald. Good luck this season. Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you big time, boss.
Gerald Hodges of the Buffalo Bills, the former Nittany Lion. Next half hour, Neil Kulong. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Attention Central Pennsylvania! Now is the time to check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai! Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 25 brand new Elantras starting at $17,496. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all new Sonatas, $3,978. Choose from 24 Sonatas starting at just $18,967. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Why would you buy another import for more money and not as good of a warranty when you can save thousands at Sunbury Motors Hyundai? If an SUV is on your list, Sunbury Motors has 18 Tucson's starting at $20,993. Attention Central Pennsylvania. Now is the time to see what you can get for your money at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburyhyundai.com. Now is the time, and Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the place.
Sean indicated to me that there's a rather... Oh, I just got an email from Alamo. After my rental car purchases in the past year, I get one free upgrade. All right, delete.
Ka-ching. Nice.
Delete. Move on. Here's an old joke. Man goes into a church, and every day for a year he gets on his knees and he prays. He says, "Please God, let me win the lottery." Monday, Tuesday, every day of the week for a whole year, same prayer: "Lord, please let me win the lottery." So 1 year goes by, and he finally goes into the church, doesn't get on his knees, and looks up and says, "Lord, I've asked you for a year. Please, let me win the lottery. I've lived an exemplary life. I've done everything that I think you've asked me to do. The one thing I've asked you for is to win the lottery, and I've had nothing." And suddenly this voice from on high comes out and says,
"You have to buy a ticket."
And it's older Pennsylvanians every day. All right, so. Just a little levity. So,
if I win tonight, I'll be here Friday. I promise.
Why?
Because of Kevin?
Because of Rod Gilmore? You see that? I'll be here Friday. No, you won't. unless you're meeting with a financial planner and trying to keep it a secret, because you do have up to a year to get it, right?
I believe you do. Yes.
You have up to a year to claim it, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll be at the party Monday night. Boy, Sean's buying all the drinks. What's going on there? It's not like
that would. Well, that would be a tip off. You know, because normally when you open your wallet, a moth flies out. It's like,
you're confusing me with somebody.
Oh, the suit. Oh, my goodness. The suit takes cheap to a new level. Right. Anybody want this last pork chop? Boom, he takes it. Oh. High school football starts on Friday night. That's terrific. It is interesting that it sounds like someone leaked or got a hold of the move of Robert Lee from the Virginia William & Mary game to Pitt Youngstown State. And that's how it got out. And it's been universally met with, huh? What? As I said, I've only met him once, right? And to be honest with you, I don't remember much. It was like 3 years ago, and it was at the CBI up in Albany. And Penn State played Siena. And because Robert is the, or Rob, as most people call him, is Siena's play-by-play guy. In fact, he's been their play-by-play guy now since... this will be his 18th season coming up doing Siena basketball. So it's not, I mean, this is not a rookie here. This is a guy who's 38, 39 years old. But this is also a case of it sounds like they're trying to, quote, be sensitive to him. But here's my question. Who would have known he was doing the game? Let me give you an example. Let's go big school here. All right? Penn State, okay, NCAA Wrestling Championship. Who announced it this year? Who announced the NCAA Wrestling Championship for ESPN this year on the mothership?
I just know it was not Adam Amin, but I can't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
But who?
Yeah. I want to say Dave Fleming, but I may be wrong there.
I'm saying that nobody knows.
No.
And on an ESPN3 game, which is what this was going to be essentially, nobody would have known he was there. Who would have known? Fans in the stands wouldn't know. Years ago, Virginia, when George Welles was the coach, at one point was ranked number one, and they had a big matchup with then number two ranked Georgia Tech. I want to say Bobby Ross was their coach or something like that. And the game was in Charlottesville. Now, say this is November. All right, and say number one Virginia is going to play number two Georgia Tech, just like 20 years ago or 25 years ago. Okay? And the number one team, broadcast team for ESPN is Chris Fowler and former Ohio State quarterback Robert Lee. Would ESPN have taken former Ohio State quarterback Robert Lee, who was the face of your college football coverage, would they have taken him off the broadcast? Of course they wouldn't have. This is... Sometimes you can think so much that you create problems by thinking too much. I mean, we would never have known that he did the game. Ever. Who know? I mean, if Fowler and Herbstreit are doing it, people know. If it's Tessitore and Blackledge, you know, because it's Blackledge, people know it. If it's Kevin Kugler and Matt Millen, they know it. You know, and, you know, Kevin's done this show how many times? I mean, what? 10 times?
Mm-hmm.
15 times?
Yep.
All right. And Cougs is about as outstanding a play-by-play guy as there is going. But, of course, the big attraction for Penn State fans is Matt Millen. I mean, name the other Big Ten network broadcasters that come in to do games. Who? Name one.
Eric Collins. I can, but I'm like a radio
Eric
TV junkie.
And Eric hasn't done one.
Been a while.
Hasn't done a Penn State game in 3 years.
Yeah.
They change these people up all the time now. And I'm just saying, he could have gone in there, and some people would have looked at the name and went, oh, just because they read it on a piece of paper. But 99% of the people would have been like, I don't know who the guy is. I mean, he's good, but I don't really know who he is. And now he's going to go do Pitt, Youngstown State, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it benefits him. Everybody knows who he is now.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now for the sports bozo of the day. Oh, gee, Sean, where do you think we should go?
I did see a story about Floyd Mayweather betting $5 million on himself for this weekend.
Nah, we're going to go with ESPN.
For the worldwide leader in sports, I've said this many times. Remember we had Jim Miller on? And Jim Miller has written the book on ESPN. For a broadcasting company, they make more baffling decisions broadcasting-wise that, I mean, honestly, I think all they do there is guess. Phil, I've only met Robert Lee once. He was doing the the Penn State Siena game. I met him. I've never heard him do a game. Because, you know, Siena's not on Sirius XM. But, I mean, I met him, and I was like, I remember, I'm a really nice guy. I've just never heard him do a game. You know, if you're in a Power 5 school, I mean, look, I mean, between Penn State football and Penn State basketball, you know, not only WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network, I mean, we're on Sirius XM all the time. So people in California hear you, Texas. But when you're doing Siena basketball, like he's done for 17 years, that's not on the list of games that make it on there. So I've never heard him do a game. But I've met him, and I thought, oh, nice guy, right? Because Penn State played that game with Siena in the CBI up at Knickerbocker Arena. Was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was. And he was supposed to, you know, he started last year doing some ESPN 3 games. And he was assigned to do Virginia, William & Mary. Now, evidently, it got leaked that they changed the assignment. And I don't know. You're almost flabbergasted by what? Why? I don't know.
One of the smartest things Kevin the Suit Her ever said to me was, don't think too hard. It only hurts the ball club. And he's right. In a lot of instances in life, he's right.
Oh, I thought it was where he resigned. Oh, I'm sorry. So, I mean, that one was obvious. All right. So, we'll move on. Just, you know, I hope whatever. I think he mostly, like, you know, Robert is the name, his given name, obviously. But I think a lot of people call him Rob. So whatever Robert Lee or Rob Lee does, I hope he does really, really well with the Pitt-Youngstown State game. Knocks it out of the park, and I hope he gets a lot of great assignments as time goes on. I wish him nothing but the best. Neil Coulong does a great job always. Neil, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. No Ben sighting, no Antonio Brown sighting. What did you get out of game two?
The defense struggled a little bit, and it was at least partially due to some key players not being in there, and you're playing a team that, outside of their offensive coordinator not being there, their starters were in, and they look as sharp as they did last year when they were scoring, 36 points a game or whatever it was. So, you know, perhaps you would have liked to have seen a little bit more from the defense when they were playing one and a half on one, really. You know, a couple scrub Steelers defenders were in there with the ones. I don't think that's exactly the lineup they were looking for, which is to say, if Tyler Medicavich is on the field, it's kind of hard to rake out the defense as a whole. It's not hard to throw the ball if he's on the field in coverage, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But overall, it's still going to be kind of a work in progress, and we want to see the main guys getting out on the field to really evaluate where the defense is. Overall, I mean, they had, I believe, Matt Filer was starting at guard, too. He's been a perennial practice squad guy for the Steelers' offensive line. But the offense isn't going to look very sharp if Josh Dobbs is going to be playing that much. So I don't know if there really is a whole lot from a team perspective to take away. Individually, you get a good look at some guys that may be on the fringe of the roster, but you didn't really see any of their difference makers in this game.
No, of course not. So, Neil, now we get to the scrimmage part of it. For a coaching staff, last week, for example, Houston and New England scrimmaged in White Sulphur Springs. How much more value does a coach get in that as opposed to a preseason game?
I think it's interesting. I would love to hear a coach comment on that specifically. I think they kind of get a gag order because what they're going to hear is, you know, probably the preseason games provide, you know, is the same, if not less value. If anything, what I would say is, you know, if you're going to do that, combine the two. You know, I think it'd be really interesting. I think people would pay to a certain degree some money to see simulated practices between two teams. You know,
there's
things
I agree with you.
Kind of boost the competition of it. There's more variety. There's something more refreshing with that, I think. And coaches get more time to coach. You know, you do want live situations to test some things, but I think everybody would agree pretty much that four preseason games is probably too many. If you were to cut that down to two, so you have one and one, you know, one on the road, one at home, and then maybe somehow work out, you know, some type of combined practice for a session or two. It's probably a little harder to work that out in some locations. But if they could do something like that, I think there'd be more interesting, more intrigue that comes out of the preseason environment. Because, frankly, there are a lot of teams that really don't need the preseason to get going. You know, I think the Steelers are one of those teams, especially considering the amount of time their main guys are playing. There's not really an attraction there for the fans anyway. You may as well put them in practice without the rules and regulations, let them kind of ham up a little bit, you know, play to the crowd. I think people would get into that. That's just me, though.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. And I think the fans would feel like they're seeing something more meaningful by going and seeing something like that. But that's another topic, another day. Who has a chance, you think now, has an outside chance to make the team that you weren't sure about before?
You know, I think I still need to see a little bit more to get past the idea that the roster is largely set in place. you know, I think it's fairly obvious that their intention is to keep three quarterbacks. So if there was any type of intrigue about Dobbs or even Jones getting cut, I think that's kind of gone now. They're clearly putting a lot into Dobbs and his development. They've kind of kept Jones on the sidelines. So, you know, maybe Nile Davis might have been a guy that they thought about, you know, possibly getting rid of. You know, it's kind of a low-risk signing. But I think he's played pretty well. He made a nice special teams play against the Falcons. You have to be impressed with that kind of thing, because that really is going to be the reason he makes the team. And compared to Fitzgerald Toussaint, I'm not really sure if we can see clearly one being the better runner. But, I think it's going to be a competition for three running back spots, because you're not going to want to get rid of Roosevelt Mix, that fullback, H-back, reserve tight end position that Todd Haley likes so much. Obviously they're low-end roster guys, so you're not really sure. But, you know, maybe outside of that, Justin Hunter, I don't think he's made the team quite yet. They're going to keep six receivers. I think that's kind of a foregone conclusion now. Hunter can get in there. Maybe he's still battling a little bit with Darius Hayward Bay, the cheaper, younger option. I'll reserve that comment until after the third game. I think we'll probably see more of both of them in that. I think they're probably competing for that sixth receiver spot.
Dobbs is raw. What do you like about him?
I like the way he's rebounded a couple times. You can tell a few of them, he really wanted those throws back. And, his footwork, as I've mentioned on your show before, is still definitely a work in progress. But he looks a lot better than he did, in my opinion anyway, when he was at Tennessee. He's got good arm strength, and he's starting to learn how to really get his lower body into it. You know, plant on his back leg and drive the ball down the field. It looks to me like he's got a lot more zip on his passes than he did when he was in college. So, to me, there's progress already in that regard. He's made some questionable decisions, but overall, I think mentally he's played well. It's the physical part that's not quite there yet. He's missed a few receivers who are open, maybe taking a little bit longer to get rid of it than he probably should have. But we've seen his athleticism. I'm really impressed with that. He really is laterally very quick. He can get up the field if he needs to. But his eyes have been down the field. You know, I think you have to be very happy with him, considering where you drafted him. And what his role is going to be. You know, obviously, something's gone horribly wrong if he's on the field any Sunday this year. He might not even dress. But I really like the development that he's shown so far and the work that they've obviously put in with him.
Bryant did get in the game. Any feel for where he is right now?
Well, maybe it's just me. Did he not look twice as big as he was before
he
left?
He sure did.
You know, he looked like, you know, deer legs when he left, and now he's more like a boar. You know, he's just much bigger than he was. And what's really interesting about that to me is they were using him when he was playing. They were using him on shorter routes a lot more often his second year than they were his first. They were working into it his second year, or at the tail end of his rookie year, more than he had been. They weren't going to let him just be a one-trick pony. He really is an open-field threat. Right. And he's a very good receiver. You know, he looked to have a lot more confidence on the field, probably just more physically than anything else, because he looked a lot bigger than everybody else. I mean, you know, he's probably 220 pounds. He must have been playing at about 205 when he first started. He was a really, really thin guy. The speed looks the same. The coordination looks the same to me. I think it's going to be a big year for him. I think he's a high-level player. I've been saying that for a while. Very exciting guy. I'm looking forward to kind of his redemption story this season.
No, that's going to be really interesting for them along the way. Roger Goodell is going to end up getting a contract extension. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think everybody sees that coming. You know, he's basically the meat shield for 32 owners that don't really want to talk about the bad things anymore. They hired him specifically to take care of that. This is just my opinion, but you have the big business guys that they have, Stan Kroenke, Jerry Jones, these are guys that know how the business side works.
Right.
They did not need the leader to tell them how to do it anymore. That's really what Tagliabue was, all the way back to Roselle. That was his role. They're not at a point within their business that they need that. So Goodell really is there for damage control more than anything else. He's one face, one voice, one unified presence for the league. And he takes an absolute beating. You know, oftentimes it's his own fault, in my opinion, but, you know, if he he's representing the people who are at fault, he takes that well. So from the position of a punching bag, I think they have a pretty good guy for it, and they're certainly paying him well for it. And a lot of it, I think they're overpaying for what the position, what the true value of that position is, largely to keep him around. I think they have to have some level of continuity because they don't want to create division, at least from a public perspective, for what he's doing and for where the league is going, I should say. I'm not surprised. I don't think they would have been interested in bringing in anybody else because I don't feel that they need anyone. I don't feel they think that they need anyone to tell them what direction to go in with their product. I think they have enough experience with it now. They're happy with the direction of things. What they need now really is just somebody to kind of cover up for them in negative situations and be the fall guy.
And plus, renewing him this long, that means that he will be the guy that will they'll be the primary lead along with somebody like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, for example, on the new TV contracts in 2021 in what is right now a mixed outlook on the horizon for anybody negotiating a new TV contract.
Yeah, that will be really interesting. And in that regard, even more to the point, Goodell's background, his lack of experience leading into the job, I don't think he's somebody that they absolutely have to have at the head of the negotiating table. I think they've got people that are plenty qualified to handle those kinds of things.
I believe we lost Neil there.
All right. Sorry about that. All right.
So we lost him in the cell phone there. All right. We'll wrap things up in a moment. ESPN has another situation to deal with. It turns out it's one of their midday hosts. I'll tell you about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Has not been a good week for the mothership with the Robert Lee decision. And now their radio host, Ryan Russillo, has been arrested in Wyoming, charged with unlawful entry. Evidently, he was found at 3:45 in the morning after evidently enjoying several refreshing alcoholic beverages in a building he wasn't supposed to be in. So I don't know. I don't know, Sean. I don't know. Now I got to deal with that one. Well, but that's what's going on. I'll tell you right now, the season can't get here fast enough. It's time to play games. Okay, it's time for games. Training camp's been going on for a long time. And
actually, it was about a month or so ago. I reached out to Danny Cannell, his former co-host, Ryan's former co-host on ESPN Radio. I did get a fast reply from Danny, which I did not surprise, which shocked me. I didn't expect really to hear back from him. But he said, at the time I got a reply back from him, he was still officially under contract with ESPN, and he was unable to do any other interviews with anybody else. But he's definitely looking forward to it. He definitely would like to come on the show with us to talk some football later in the year. So we'll stay on top of that.
Well, love to have him on because I think Danny Cannell does a good job. Explains a lot of things from a quarterback's point of view, and I thought he was doing a good job on the show until they had all the cutbacks. But it has been a really rough year for them. I want to point out, though, that ESPN is still making money. And they're not barely above the line making money. I mean, they're making a really good chunk of change. But it is not at the level Disney thought it would be, and it's certainly much less of a profit than what they turned 5 years ago in terms of the percentage. The cord cutting and so forth. You get the cord cutting to go with the bad publicity they receive from laying off 100 people. To the bad publicity of this week, now on two fronts. One that was a self-inflicted wound by them, and one that an employee has now caused with Ryan Russillo, even though it is a misdemeanor that he's been charged with. But it's also into the category of, I could see them sitting in the offices right now going, well, we didn't need that one.
So I don't know.
And there, have been quite a few times on this show when credit where credit is due, we give that to ESPN when it comes to the way they provide their coverage for the Little League World Series, which has been wonderful for the past week. And if you were not able to get into Bowman Field for the game on Sunday night between the Pirates and Cardinals, that looked phenomenal on TV.
Well, I'm just, how many times have I said I think the Little League World Series is the best thing they do? I think the tone that they set. I mean, Carl Ravitch has been doing most of it this week, and John Ciambi's done some. Does that make sense? With Kyle Peterson and others, I think they do that group does as fine a job of presenting Little League baseball as you can ask. I mean, they talk about all the positives, all the things they see. They just set the right tone for that all the way through. It's really, really well done. Really well done. And again, when they do something really well, you know, I mean, the national championship game with Auburn and Clemson was really well done, really well announced. So, I mean, they can do some things really, really well. And then they do some things that are really, really confusing. Floyd Mayweather bet $5 million on himself to win, huh? You can do that in Vegas.
Yeah, there are some buddies of mine that are huge sports fans like you and I are, and it's just they're just getting to the point where this isn't even a boxing match. It's just really going to be intriguing just to see the result, how it's going to shake out as to how long McGregor is going to hang in the ring with him.
You know what I think? I think Mayweather will win by a split decision. But I have no desire to see this. And I found that that tour that they made, all the really, I don't know, disgusting comments each one of them made, and I thought they were disgusting.
And they didn't do one or two. They did four of them. It just got boring really quick.
They just kind of sat there and said, okay. They made it for me less desirable to watch. If they wanted to make it more desirable for me, they made it less desirable. I mean, I'm not going to watch it. I'll check Sunday morning to find out what the result is. But that's about as far as I'll go.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.